T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We're gonna play on and stand strong with Trollo and Dibs. Turn the game on, pump up the volume. It's time to play ball with Trollo and Dibs. Turn the game on.
A swing and a drive to center off the bat of Chapman. Chasing Haniger back to the wall, and out it goes. Matt Chapman unloads to dead center, his 24th of the year, and the A's, just like that, with one mighty clout, are back in front.
That's it. It's a wrap. Your Oakland Athletics are back in the postseason for the first time in 4 years, courtesy of the New York Yankees, who went out of their way to defeat the Tampa Bay Rays 4-1 yesterday, rendering last night's game less meaningful than originally anticipated. But the A's are still trying to track down home field advantage for that wild card game. So they went out and hammered Seattle 7-3. It's your boys, Jolo and Dibs, here on 95.7 The Game. We have a million things to get to today. John Morosi in 30 minutes, all things baseball. The A's back in the playoffs, how the final push is going to look, what the Yanks are up to, and what happened at AT&T Park yesterday as Bobby Evans has been removed as general manager of the San Francisco Giants after 4 years. We'll begin with this. Head to our Twitter account today, at Joe Lowen Dibs. We are going to be throwing an AL wildcard game watch party next Wednesday, October 3rd, when the A's play the Yanks. Now, one way or another, it's either in New York or it's in Oakland. We're still throwing the party. It's expected to be a game that starts around 5 p.m. no matter the venue. All those details will come out later, but if you want to attend with a guest, 10 of you will have the chance to win. We need you to shoot a video, however you want to do it, showing your fandom, telling us why you should attend the party. We will pick 10 of you between now and the beginning of next week. You can bring a guest. We'll all be here partying for the game. So the Twitter account, at Joe Lowen Dibs, follow the account, send the video. How about it? A's back in the playoffs. 4 long years.
Yeah, 4 long years, and it feels like longer than 4 years, just the very nature of how things went with the struggles and the players leaving and the promise of a new day coming, not this year, but next year. But this team wasn't willing to wait until next year to make it to the playoffs. They're ahead of schedule. The young players matured quickly. The patchwork rotation and a dominant bullpen. And here you are, about a week left to go, and you're already in.
What's the feeling like? You've clinched probably in week 17. You've probably been in scenarios where you needed teams to help you out in the final game of the season. And then you've probably had it wrapped up.
Sure.
Like those 14-2 Chargers, you knew you were going. What's the feeling like when you find out you're heading to the playoffs?
Well, the first thing is you're just so excited because you know that now it's only several other teams that are in. In football, you're like, okay, whether you're a wild card, whether you're in the playoffs, you say, let's get to the dance. In order to get to the show, get to the win a championship, first you got to get in. And the A's has completed one of the cycles by getting in the playoffs. You don't care if you're a wild card. You don't care if you're number one seed. At the end of the day, you say, I have earned the right to play. And after you do that, you say, okay, now let's go make some noise while we're in here. And oh, by the way, let's get paid while we're in this playoffs as well.
All right, here's where we stand. The Red Sox defeated the Orioles yesterday 6-2. Boston will hold home field advantage throughout the American League playoffs. The Yanks have 6 games left to play. The A's have 5 games left to play. The Yanks are a game and a half up on the A's at the moment. Now, that could change. New York has 3 more in Tampa, but you've got to worry. Now that Tampa's been eliminated from the playoffs, what are you going to get from them over the next 3 games? Are they going to try to play spoiler? Are they going to pack it in? What are you going to get from Boston down the stretch? Will the Red Sox go out of their way to try to make life a little bit more challenging for the A's? For the Yanks, by sending them on the road to play the A's in the Bay Area. The A's will play 5 more, 2 at Seattle, 3 at LA. Cleveland, Houston, already in the playoffs, all depending on seeding. We'll find out down the road. For those degenerates out there who followed our advice 2 months ago and played the A's at 80-1 to win the World Series, congratulations. You are in the postseason. You now have an opportunity to hedge your bets. The A's are 12-1 to win the World Series. We will go through all those details before next Wednesday's game for how to attack that wager. Also, shout out to Chris Davis, who hit his 46th home run last night, and Matt Chapman, who hit his 24th home run last night. Back to the Red Sox angle. Do you see them trying to help the A's? Do you think in any way, shape, or form for that final series of the year against the Yanks, if the A's are hovering right there, the Red Sox might have a little extra oomph to try to knock down the pinstripes and force them to come all the way to the Bay Area? Because even if the Yanks would win here, they'd still have to go all the way back across the country to start that series in Boston.
They would, and I think that the Red Sox are going to obviously try to win those games, but they're going to have scheduled rest for guys, and that won't change. Whether it's Mookie Betts, JD Martinez, maybe you sit them on different games. You don't just wholesale give a game away, but you want guys to get rest. Now that you know what your spot is in the postseason and you're Boston and you're going to have home field, you want to give guys as much rest as possible, even though there's like a 3 or 4 day break before the ALDS starts. You still want guys to get rest. But yeah, when you have the chance, you want to make the Yankees suffer as much as possible.
No question. Do you think the A's have a friend in Boston?
You have a friend indeed. Exactly. And Boston, Boston is going to, I think they want to help the A's out. And yeah, of course, they, like Dib said, they want to rest their guys and rest your rotation, want to rest your bats. But at the same sense, you want guys to stay in the moment. And right now, they have a chance to make the Yankees travel across to the West Coast. Absolutely, Joe, they will.
To put things into perspective for how improbable what the Oakland A's just accomplished truly is, I want you to listen to the following. This season, based on opening day payroll numbers, the Boston Red Sox, to this date, to this morning, have paid $2.23 million per win. They had a $237 million payroll entering the season. They have currently notched 106 victories. Their payroll per win, $2.23 million. The New York Yankees, who are in the playoffs this year, $1.77 million per win to date. The Houston Astros, your defending champions, $1.61 million per win. The Cleveland Indians, winners of the AL Central, $1.53 million per win. And then the Oakland Athletics, $725,000 per victory this season. Wow. 95 wins divided into $68.9 million. It's costing $725K per win. Conversely, the Giants paid $2.8 million per win to this point.
Whoa.
$203 million on the opening day payroll for 72 victories. By the way, you fire Bobby Evans, and then you come out and lose 5-0 to the Padres.
Yeah.
Like, clearly, you don't give a damn about anything in that locker room at this moment.
I just don't think that you're that good. And ultimately, Bobby Evans pays the price. And I think Brandon Crawford had a quote afterward because the strength coach got fired about a week ago. And he says it's really kind of a hard thing when you as a player aren't playing well and it costs someone else their job. I don't know if you've ever been through that low where the football team isn't playing well and the coach who's liked and maybe he's doing an okay job, he has to pay the price, but that's pro sports.
Oh, many a times, Dibs, absolutely.
Marty, right? Yeah, you guys love Marty.
I mean, we love Marty. Marty Schottenheimer, shoot, Dick LeBeau, you love. I mean, there's a lot of places that I've been where I've seen this happen where, you know, coaches, unfortunately, guys, you know, they're not doing their job. They're trying, they're struggling, and not taking their job serious. And, you know, you see it happening. You see with the Giants what happened. I think there's still going to be more to come, and it's going to be interesting. You look at the A's, yeah, they're not firing. You look at Bob, what he's done, but look at all the injuries. Sometimes even trainers get fired. You look at all the pitchers, Cotton, all these different pitchers, the different styles of pitching they're teaching. Sometimes accountability even with the strength coaches and training staff, because you see the amount of the pitchers that the A's have gotten hurt. It's going to be interesting to see if they make any changes as well.
Here's the skipper, Bob Melvin, after the game.
Didn't get ahead of ourselves. You know, obviously had to get in a position where we felt like, okay, now's the time to believe, and they all did. So, I mean, it's pretty quick. Probably happened a little quicker than most people thought, but we got some big-time players in that room.
What's the argument against Bomel for AL Manager of the Year?
Just that Boston had a near-record season, and you give it to Cora, but I think you look at what Melvin did, like you said, with the payroll, $725,000 per win. You basically have an underpaid bunch of youngsters and a group of cast-offs. You made it happen with Trevor Cahill and Brett Anderson, and it's 2018, Joe. It's not 2011 Oakland Athletics baseball, so For me, there is not a great argument against him, but that would be the only argument because Boston was so dominant.
Is there a case to be made for Cora that he was able to take a lot of high-priced talent like David Price, all these superstars with monster egos, and he was able to keep the locker room in check throughout the course of a 162-game season to notch, to current date, 106 victories? The ability to take all those egos, it's got to mean something.
It does.
Not to knock Bo Mel, but if you're going to make the case for Cora, it's not just the wins. It's the fact that you were able to manage all that talent and all that money and get the most out of it.
Yeah, how do you massage each and every one egos when you have so many superstars on your team? You've seen it in basketball. You've seen it in, you know, in football where guys thought that they were some great team. We saw it in Philly when they had, quote, the dream team. All those great talent. You think that something's going to happen. It doesn't necessarily guarantee you a championship because of the fact you have so many egos on the team and everyone thinks they're great. Everyone thinks that they, you know, necessarily don't get along. So it is hard. So I think the skipper does deserve a lot of credit.
Greg Papa will join us today at 8:30. If you want to weigh in on last night's win and the upcoming playoff berth, we'd love to hear from you. 888-957-9570. From one Oakland team to another, it's all roses with the A's right now, but wait until you hear the comment that slid through the cracks from John Gruden 2 days ago. We got to break that down next. Joe Lowe and Dibs, 95.7 The Game.
The A's are back in the playoffs.
Out it goes! Unbelievable! Party time at home plate!
Congratulations to the Oakland A's for clinching their first playoff berth since 2014.
Woo!
A's postseason baseball, only on 95.7. The Game. Joe Lowe and Dibs continues on 95.7 The Game.
Your Oakland Athletics are back in the playoffs, courtesy of a little help from the New York Yankees over the Tampa Bay Rays last night. You'll hear from John Morosi, MLB Insider, 12 minutes from now. Now we can start thinking about who the A's are going to trot out there against the Yanks, whether it be in the Bronx or here. How much bullpenning is the team going to look to do? But for the moment, this slid through the cracks yesterday, and we had so much to deal with regarding the Garoppolo knee injury that we didn't pay it its just desserts. And this is such a tasty nugget that if this were a one-sport town in terms of football, you'd be able to get 4 hours out of this. Now, what you're going to hear is a report from Ian Rappaport of the NFL Network Sunday morning regarding the Oakland Raiders. Take a listen.
And from what I'm told, Mike, the way that John Gruden handles personnel has caused a divide in that building. Here's why. Gruden has what has amounted to his own personnel staff. He has people like Dave Rosano, who is head of football research, who came to prominence on Twitter with several wild takes, including Jake Locker, should be the number one pick. He has essentially become Gruden's right-hand man. Gruden also has his own draft board, his own personnel board, his own people who help him make cut-ups. And then on the other side, there are the respected scouts from Reggie McKenzie who helped build this team from basically nothing into a playoff team. And some of those people feel like Gruden simply has not listened to them. It is clear that he is listening to those in his inner circle to do a lot of things, including sign veterans and trade for Khalil Mack.
All right, so if you get up early Sunday mornings, like 6, 7 a.m., and you start tracking all the NFL stuff, you get that story, and you cling to it, and you write it down, and you take some notes, and you say, this is going to make the show. Then the games kick off at 10, and all hell breaks loose. And things like this slip through the cracks. But here's John Gruden following the Miami game when speaking to the media. This is going to run for how long? It's about 20 seconds. I want you to pay attention to the last 5 or 6 seconds of this. Here's Gruden.
Seemed like you had the things going your way a little bit, but you gave up a lot of big plays, trick plays.
Yeah, we certainly did. That's how I just summed it up. We got hurt on a jet sweep. We got hurt on a trick play, and we didn't finish some drives in the red zone. That's the story of the game. Although there are a lot of stories behind the scenes.
So, you have the Rappaport story in the morning, and then Gruden with the cryptic comment there after the Miami game a few hours later. Now, no one asks a follow-up on this. No one wants to pry into it or anything like that. They just want to, you know, go about their business, which is fine. We'll do that work. Those two have got to be related, right?
Why not? How could it not when you see cryptic, you know, behind the scenes? So, behind the scenes, Rappaport says there's two different boards, there's two different offices, there's two different sides, you know, the North and the South. And, you usually don't win when there's two different sides. So you listen at what Rappaport was saying and you listen to what Gruden was saying. Without a doubt, there, I think that message was a direct shot to saying, yeah, and the things are going on that people don't even behind the scenes. And right now, behind the scenes, the Raiders are in a tough situation, Joe. Forget the front office. It's about the players. Because if the media understands that, the players understand that, Derek Carr understands that, all the players that are on that team that was brought in by Reggie, they understand that there is a new regime in town. And if that's the case, then these guys are understanding they're playing for their livelihood, and they're not necessarily playing for the Oakland Raiders. They're playing for their individual livelihood.
And playing for their next job, in fact. And if you think about the divide, and Ian Rappaport's report sounds pretty plausible, and then John Gruden says, yeah, there's a lot of stories behind the scenes. It seems to me that you can go down the roster and look at Reggie's guy, John's guy, and more, the Reggie's guy list is getting smaller. Khalil Mack, the biggest among those names, and you mentioned Derek Carr, and you can't help but keep an eye on whether or not he will become one of John Gruden's guys, or if ultimately he'll be discarded like the rest of Reggie's guys, because John goes back and forth all the time on Derek Carr. Well, he missed Amari when he was open. Well, I thought Derek played great. He's showing toughness. All these different mixed messages. It's just fascinating to see how the roster is being shaped by these two divisions.
So why is Reggie still there? And this isn't to knock him. I'm just help me out with this. If you're the one in control and you've created a situation now, being John Gruden, where you've got your own personnel people setting their draft board and handling their business while Reggie and his people are on the other side of the building, why would Reggie still be there? Why wouldn't you just move on? If you're Mark Davis, are you aware of this situation? And do you realize that this is not good for business? I mean, what's the thought process here? Because that's what I'm trying to figure out. Why would you want two factions at war with one another?
I think that right now, honestly, my thing would be to get with Mark Davis, not a player. I think that Mark Davis needs to separate himself from this whole situation and really find someone that he trusts, someone that knows football, someone that can give him the perspective and objectively. Because, you know, you go in there, and then if someone just outside say, you know, the numbers you had, what, 62 or 52 Gruden's drafted players that he drafted, during the time that he drafted them there, maybe they went elsewhere and made a Pro Bowl, but not necessarily under his watch. And frigging Reggie can say, here's the guys that I drafted since I've been a Raider in 2-3 years. Here's the many Pro Bowls. It's not even close. Look at the talent. Look at the certain things. So right now you do have a divide, and a divide for power. So I think that Mark Davis, he's got to either say, John, this guy is going to be the chef, and you know what? We're going to get you all, and these guys, this guy's going to get all the product for you, and we want you to go ahead and be the chef, and you need to cook it. Trust that we're going to go get the groceries, go get the players that you need to be successful. Trust Reggie that he's going to bring you the players. Those players are going to be good enough that you can work your magic as a coach to get them out there on the field to be able to play at a high level. The way that they're doing this, this is not a recipe for success. And yes, Joe, Reggie's there right now because you got to realize when he was brought in, it was to make changes and make things happen. And he's doing that. But now all of a sudden Gruden's there and he doesn't like the way it's done. So I just think that Mark Davis is going to have a tough decision after this year.
That ship has sailed as far as letting Reggie take control. Yeah. You gave Gruden $100 million. Gruden's in charge. The only reason why Reggie is still there is out of deference to Al Davis and the old days and the fact that you gave Reggie a 4-year contract. So he's there through 2020. Do you want to eat 3 years of Reggie or do you want to eat 2 years? I think after this season, they'll try to do it classily and go their separate ways. But Reggie's days are numbered. But you don't want to embarrass him by firing him in the middle of the season, I think, out of deference to Mr. Davis.
Also, if you're Gruden, you want a bulletproof shield. Gruden's not an idiot. He might be 0-3 right now, and he may have made some decisions that aren't popular amongst the fan base. Gruden's not dumb. Gruden right now, when he trades Mack, he now has we can't get after the pass rusher. What do you want me to do about it? Offensively, he's already set the stage that Carr's not living up to expectations, that Amari's got to play better. You always hear from all the people who need to play better. As long as Reggie is there, there's a bulletproof shield. There's someone that's there to take the heat. Then eventually, this season comes to a conclusion. You drop Reggie. You blame him for everything that went wrong. You say, deuces, Oakland, and you move down to San Diego and you play for a year. Then you slide over to the new stadium in Las Vegas, and you've got your new quarterback, and you've got your new situation. Say, hey, we're here. Don't worry about what you heard up there. That was all the previous regime and other people who are no longer with the organization. We're the Las Vegas Raiders. This organization, don't worry. We're buttoned up. Now, we'll hit on this more later, but we got to get to John Morosi. The big news with the Giants, Bobby Evans is out. What does that mean for Bruce Bochy? What does it mean for Brian Sabian? What does it mean for Madison Bumgarner? as well as how do the A's approach that wild card game with the Yanks. All coming up next, Joe Lo and Dibs, 95.7 The Game.
The A's are back in the playoffs. Congratulations to the Oakland A's for clinching their first playoff berth since 2014. Woo! A's postseason baseball, only on 95.7. The Game. Joe Lo and Dibs continues on 95.7 The Game.
MLB insider for both Fox Sports and the MLB Network, John Morosi, joining us here on 95.7 The Game. John, good morning, and thank you for your time. As always, we will start with this. The Oakland Athletics, to date, have spent $725,000 per victory. Conversely, the Boston Red Sox have spent $2.23 million per victory. You got to figure the A's? Well, it's a hell of an underdog story, is it not?
One of the great stories that we have seen in baseball in many years. I really believe that about the A's. And certainly a lot of great conversation around Bob Melvin as the manager of the year in the American League, and very deservedly so. It is hard to imagine, I think, when spring training began, the A's getting to this point, and we had talked so much about being sellers of the trade deadline. Of course, they played far too well for that to happen, and now they're in the playoffs. So I think it's a remarkable story about how they built this team, and really, I think to me it goes back to last year, and when Chapman came up and became an everyday player, and Olsen as well, it really just changed, I think, the energy and the excitement around the team, and you've got Chris Davis as an MVP candidate, Chapman as an MVP candidate, and the rotation. I look at it in the front office's ability to go out there and find Jackson and Cahill and Anderson is really an amazing story, and to blend them into the rotation as they have. I've heard from players about just what a great influence Jackson has been with all Edwin's experience in the game and coming in, and he may even start the wild card game. We don't know that yet. So it's a remarkable story, and I think everybody with the organization has a lot to be proud of, because really in baseball, talking to everybody I talked to in spring training, no one saw this coming.
Chris Davis, a remarkable year leading the American League in home runs. Does he finish higher in the MVP race than Bob Melvin does in the Manager of the Year race?
That's a great question. I think Bob Melvin is either first or second in the AL Manager of the Year vote. And I said this yesterday, it just depends on how you view the award. If you view the award as outright achievement by a particular franchise, the Boston Red Sox are going to win a historic number of games for that franchise's history, and you have a first-year manager doing it. I mean, it's pretty hard to not vote for Alex Cora in that circumstance. That being said, Bob Melvin has made the playoffs with a team that no one really thought was going there. And with all the injuries that he had to deal with in the rotation, and the profound payroll disadvantage relative to the competition in the division and really all around the game, I mean, basically the smallest payroll in the league, I don't know, I don't vote for him either. So it really is a question of is it the most with the least? If that's the case, then Bob Melvin gets it. If it's a historic season for a franchise, then Alex Cora gets it. There's really no wrong answer between the two of them, but I don't see any way in which Bob Melvin finishes lower than second in the Manager of the Year vote. I think on the MVP side of things, there are so many great players in the American League, and I think also with Chris, the defensive component, I think, is real for other players, such as Betts and Ramirez and Trout. JD, of course, is more of a similar player to Davis from a standpoint of mostly offensive and with the power. So I think he's top five, but I'm not convinced that he's going to be top three just because of the defensive component of some of the other guys that are in the running there for that award.
John, regular season is different than the playoffs. We know that. Will the lights get too bright for this young A's team? And how important is it to them to have a fast start in this playoff game?
Well, it's paramount, obviously, in the wild card game, and we'll see how Bob Melvin wants to arrange his pitching for that game. I think that's going to be a big question, and even to be honest, the Yankees have some of the same questions. I mean, their staff, they've maybe been a little bit better here lately, but still some questions with a lot of their candidates for that game. So I think that more than likely that game is going to be played at Yankee Stadium. And so the A's will be on the road, and whether they use the opener in that game or begin with a starter and then just have the bullpen ready early, I think that for the wild card game, we've seen it before. We saw it last year with really both the Twins and the Yankees. You've got to have your pen available and ready early. The A's will. And I think that, as we saw it last year, the first runs were big, but then again, the Yankees answered right in the bottom of the inning, and all of a sudden they took control of that game very quickly as well. So that game is managed really unlike any other game in the playoffs, outside of probably Game 7 of the World Series, which is why it's so special. And yes, a fast start paramount. And I think for this team, their youth and their excitement, I believe this, Lo, that when you've got a baseball team that's come up together in the minor leagues, and we've seen that with the Royals were one great case of it, and the Astros, I think, last year, the Cubs and their group, yes, some of those guys were traded for, but for the most part, they came up together and really had a very strong bond. When you have that familiarity, it has a way of making the big moments seem smaller and less intimidating because you're playing for your buddies. Then it becomes like you're just playing high school baseball again because you're with your friends. And I think that the teams that are close-knit, I think they may not always win, but they're able to insulate themselves a little bit from the pressure of the playoffs because you're just there with your friends. And I think the A's have that quality to them. It's really fun to watch. It's fun to absorb that. You can tell it just watching it on TV. I think it's even more evident when you're at the ballpark. But they really love playing together. And I think that quality about them, whether they're young or old, wherever they came from in the baseball world, I think that they've got a great way about them that will serve them very well in this very intense wild card game.
MLB Insider for both Fox Sports and the MLB Network, John Morosi with us here on 95.7 The Game. The A's weren't the only team in the Bay Area making news yesterday. The Giants parted ways with general manager Bobby Evans after 4 years in that role, 25 years with the organization. Take us through this. Bochy's going to be back next year, but that's probably the last year for him. How do you see the next year shaping up? Who could be a candidate for the GM position? Who are they going to be looking for at manager? Is this going to be a complete rebuild?
Well, I think it's really a watershed moment for the Giants. They are now determining what their future is going to be. I think Andrew Bagley's note about David Bell being possibly a fit at some role, elevated position in some form, I think is a really good note, because I think with his connections there, you look at maybe the Matheny tie-in there. Perhaps Matheny is the manager in 2020, or perhaps Bell is elevated to a GM spot, depending on how things go with the GM search. So I think David Bell is a name to watch in some capacity, and the higher he climbs in the organization, the more that Matheny could get involved. I would say a few more names to watch. Mike Elias, the assistant GM of the Houston Astros, World Series winner, Yale educated, very, very good executive. He's done an excellent job building through the draft, and I think it's just very, he's very, very tied in with what Jeff Luhnow has done there in Houston. I think Mike is an outstanding candidate. Jason McLeod with the Cubs. He's had a lot of jobs in the game and really been around a lot of winning in his time. Some West Coast connections for him, so I would watch Jason McLeod's name. Peter Woodfork in the commissioner's office. Kim Ng in the commissioner's office. I would mention those names. Chaim Bloom with the Rays. We've seen how they have approached things this year so imaginatively with the opener. I think he is a good name to watch. So I think that's kind of a starting list there to begin, but I think the key thing is Larry Bear's mentioning of looking for a next generation GM. I think that to me says maybe heavier analytics and someone that's going to come in and probably be a bit more discerning about free agent spending in the future. That is really where the game is going. More and more of the analytically minded GMs tend to I think move away from the more expensive free agents and do their spending on more of the longer term contracts for players already under control and build through the farm system and the draft. That's how it's done in Houston. That's how even the Dodgers with their payroll, they focus more on player development as well. So I think we're going to see that the Giants probably holding the line more on free agent signings in the future. I think that's going to be a change in philosophy. They have, by the way, used analytics in many cases, but they didn't always necessarily heed the word of analytics. I think that's what happened with some of the larger free agent signings. So fascinating day for the Giants. I feel badly personally for Bobby Evans. He's always been a very classy individual in the game, but I think it was apparent after two losing seasons in a row that the change had to come, and yesterday was that day.
Check him out at both Fox Sports and the MLB Network. John Morosi with us here on 95.7 The Game. John, we always appreciate the insights. Thank you for your time this morning. Enjoy the games, and we look forward to catching up with you come playoff time.
Sounds great. It's going to be a fun postseason run on the East Bay, I believe. That team is they're not going to be afraid of anybody. It should be very exciting.
No doubt. Thank you so much, John.
My pleasure.
All right, so we've done the A's. Now it's time to get to the Giants. Bobby Evans is out. What does it mean for the future? A, are we about to embark on a complete rebuild? And B, what does it mean for Madison Bumgarner? Joe Lowe and Dibs with that next here on 95.7 The Game.
The A's are back in the playoffs.
Out it goes! Unbelievable! Party time at home plate.
Congratulations to the Oakland A's for clinching their first playoff berth since 2014.
Woo!
A's postseason baseball, only on 95.7. The Game. Joe Lowe and Dibs continues on 95.7 The Game.
Three-time Super Bowl champion Randy Cross coming up in about 10 minutes at 7 o'clock. Greg Papa will join us this morning at 8:30. It's Joe Lowe and Dibs here on 95.7 The Game. For those of you just joining us, we are throwing an American League Wild Card Watch Party here at the studios next Wednesday, October 3rd.
Now, yes!
There are no official details yet as to when the game will start, but whether it's in New York, the assumption would be 5 Pacific. And if it's here, the assumption is probably 5 Pacific. The Yanks are a big draw, not to knock the A's, but clearly you're going to want to put one of your marquee gems in the ultimate time slot. So we're thinking it'll be around 5 p.m. next Wednesday. You have a chance to come party with us. Go to our Twitter page, which is at Joe Lowe and Dibs. Not spelled out A-N-D, the and sign. What do they call that?
Ampersand.
The and sign?
The ampersand.
The ampersand? Joe Lowe, ampersand Dibs, and shoot a video. Can be as long as you want, but just fire it off. Show us your fandom. Show us something creative. Whatever you want to do. What we're going to do is pick 10 of you to come party with us next Wednesday here at the studios to watch the game. You can also bring a guest. So hit up the Twitter page at Joe Lowe ampersand Dibs. And I'm going to end up saying that all day. It's just going to confuse everybody.
What?
And come hang out.
I will give you a little bit of a correction. So the title is Joe Lowe ampersand Dibs, but it's at Joe Lowe and Dibs, A-N-D.
Tremendous.
Just want to let you know.
Tremendous.
Keep
Thank
it consistent.
You so much for
One
that.
Of your favorite
yes,
things.
Let's just find a way to make things more complicated than they need to be. You got to love it. You got to love it.
It's always your favorite when two things don't match up in the most simplistic of ways like that.
My favorite is that we as a society are really good at setting up roadblocks. Businesses, the country, we go out of our way to make life more challenging than it needs to be. Have you ever noticed that? Try to deal with your health care. You pay for health care. You go to the hospital. You do what you need to do. You're a taxpaying citizen. Yeah. You follow the rules. And yet, there's always one or two extra steps for everything. And when you call to lay out the issue, no one wants to hear it because that person on the other end is just fed up with their life. So it just takes weeks, months, possibly years to get simple things resolved. Case in point, we don't even have a Twitter account that we're promoting properly here on 95.7 The Game. Moving past that nonsense, yesterday the big story outside of the A's earning their way back to the playoffs for the first time in 4 years is the fact that the Giants have finally made a move. Bobby Evans fired after 4 years as the team's general manager, 25 years with the team. Now, Larry Bear has said they're going to go on a search. They want to become more next gen is the term that's being thrown around, which has led many to believe that the franchise might take more of an analytical approach. The word on Bochy is that he's going to be back for another year. We'll hear from him at some point down the road. I'm sure he'll address it after the season. The Giants responded to the news by losing to the Padres 5-0, which shows just how much is going on in that locker room at the moment in terms of motivation to get this thing to the finish line. So let's begin with this. Evans, is he the only one out at this current moment, do you see between now and, let's say, a month after the season, more changes coming?
No, I really don't, because Brian Sabian has been given emeritus status, so he's just going to slide to the side, and whoever the new next-gen GM is going to be is going to have a chance to control the baseball operations. Brian Sabian will be more of an advisorial role. Bobby Evans getting scapegoated, it kind of sucks. He was there 25 years, 4 years in the current job, but when you play this badly for 2.5 seasons now, you've got to have some changes. Last year they tried some changes to the coaching staff. It didn't really work. And you're not going to, fire Bruce Bochy 1 year shy of the end of his run with the Giants. So as you start to look at all the pieces that might need changing, the only one that you can really justify is Bobby Evans.
And when you say justify Bobby Evans, he's been here how long, you said?
25 years with the organization.
So you say, and Bochy's been, the skipper's been here less than that. So if you look at it, you're saying, so how is that necessarily justifiable? I see that a lot of heads probably should roll. I think that if you look at players, you look at coaches, you look at front office, is this just guy being the scapegoat? Unfortunately, this is, how it works, but is he the scapegoat in this situation? I mean, he doesn't necessarily sign the checks. He's not out there hitting the balls. He's not out there coaching the guys, having guys, the errors and all those different things. So, I just think that this team, I don't know if that is just going to be the answer to turn this thing around.
Half measures is what it is. Half measures. Yeah. Look, if you want a new era, it begins with new personnel. Go ahead and clean house. Now, I do think it's smart to leave Bochy around for one more year, and no one's going to mention this. But it's the fact that if you bring in a new general manager, whoever it may be, he comes in, and you're like, well, what are you doing? Let him hire his guy. Let him get started. No. Let Bruce have this year. The Giants are so far away from getting this thing back on track. This buys the new general manager a year. It gives him an opportunity to get situated here in the Bay Area, to figure out his plan, to figure out what he's going to do with the current roster, to figure out how he's going to attack the draft and free agency. And all the while, Bochy is out there managing the team in a year where there's going to be no expectations whatsoever, because Bochy is going to be gone at the end of the year. And the media will keep saying, well, the rebuild's not going to start for another year. We got to wait until the new manager comes in. Bochy is only going to be around one more year, so you're buying the new GM a full year to go out there and just get his feet wet, get the machinations behind the scene working in his favor, and then he can hire his guy, and you can come out and say, all right, it's a new era of Giant baseball. It's a free year. That's the beauty of it. And all the while, you give Bochy the opportunity to go on the retirement tour, to get all the gifts at all the different stops. You pay him homage on the way out the door, and everyone's none the wiser. That's why you keep Bochy in play here. You buy yourself a full year for this new GM so he can go ahead and hire his guy. You basically get a full year to conduct a coaching search because, let's face it, between the ballpark, the Bay Area, and the money these guys have to spend, this is a very attractive job. Maybe the guy you like is still under contract somewhere. Maybe the guy you like isn't necessarily ready to make the jump just yet. So you're buying yourself a full year to kind of get this whole thing going without any pressure whatsoever. Because everyone's going to keep saying, well, the rebuild will start after Bochy.
Well, they have to start the rebuild in some ways this next year. You look at all the contracts they're already in for. They're in for over $100 million over the course of just 7 players. So you're going to start by getting a new GM in, and the GM's going to have to look at this roster and see who can we possibly trade to get prospects. Because as it sits right now with their farm system, with their young talent on the major league roster, this team is at least 2, probably closer to 3 years away from returning to excellence. But you have to counterbalance that with the number one important thing with that organization, which is butts in the seats. And you mentioned it, Joe, the last 2 or 3 weeks has been an absolute hemorrhaging of attendance. The Giants fan base has lost interest in that product. So you can't really strip mine the whole thing and get rid of all of your frontline players, because then no one will show up for an entire season. Yet you do have to rebuild. So they're kind of in a tight spot where they're trying to thread the needle by doing these, like you said, half measures.
They've also created a great opportunity to move by Madison Bumgarner. Now it's sellable. It wasn't sellable with the previous regime, but now you can come in. The new guy can get hired. He can trade Bumgarner at the winter meetings. He can bring back a lot of prospects. And when everyone goes, whoa, well, Mad Bum, we love Mad Bum. Hey, I didn't draft Mad Bum. Why are you looking at me? This is a rebuild, people. This is a rebuild. You can sell this now. Same regime wouldn't have been able to sell it. Now you have officially sent a message to everybody. It's a new era. We're moving in a new direction. We're bringing in new people. And you can go ahead and move Bumgarner with less heat coming back at you from the fan base and the media than what previously was probably anticipated.
Oh, without a doubt. You see what Gruden's been able to do in Oakland. You got rid of Mack. You know the GM wanted to keep him there, but a new regime comes in. We see what's going on, the struggle, two different sides of the office, what's happening now. And this is a prime example. The Giants can. Now you can say, okay, what can they give? You look at Madison. You look at saying, okay, kids, he played this one more year. Now the new GM can come in and say, hey, what are we doing with Buster? Hey, Buster, sit down with Buster Posey and say, I know this, Buster. You deserve to be a champion. You've done unbelievable. You've been great. You got a key to the city. But, hey, we're going to start this rebuild. We want to put you in the best situation. Hey, we want to seek a trade. I think there's going to be all kinds of different things that happen. When you strip this thing, you have to strip it back because you look at the financially, they are way over the cap, their number, the luxury tax, all the different things that they have to deal with when doing this rebuild. You got a clean house. It's going to be painful, but if the Giant fans want to produce another winner, it's going to have to, the cupboard's going to be bare for a minute.
Posey's looking at 3 years and $66 million left on his deal. I think a more likely option would be to trade Brandon Belt. Belt sitting with 3 years and $51 million. You try to get what you can for Brandon Belt, and you move Buster Posey to first base. Maybe it's more than halftime. Maybe he becomes the, quote, backup catcher. Even though he's a great receiver, the pitchers love him. Derek Rodriguez has flourished with Buster. You need more production from Buster Posey, and you're not getting that with a bum hip behind home plate. So for me, if it's not trade Madison Bumgarner, and they got a $12 million option on Bumgarner, which maybe you pick up the option and trade him, that'd be a great contract for a team for a year, and then maybe they give him a long-term deal, but it's Brandon Belt is the piece that I think they absolutely have to move.
Crawford would be the one that would get you the better return outside of Bumgarner. Belt, how many, like again, with the injuries.
How many,
That's the thing. Belt is the same thing every year. So you got to ask yourself if you're going to be willing to tolerate that. And you can at that price point. I don't know what team would be interested. When he's healthy, he can contribute. You put him in a hitter-friendly park, who knows? Crawford's the guy, though. Crawford's probably headed for another Golden Glove. And when you look at his salary, commensurate with other shortstops around the league, if you put him somewhere with a short porch and right, he'd be hitting 25, 30 homers a year, and he'd win you a Gold Glove. And for what he's paid a year, well below market value. Now, you are listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1, a radio.com station. Before we move on to put a bow on this segment for now, a thank you to Bobby Evans. It's never easy to say goodbye to someone who's been around your organization for 25 years, the last four of which were as the GM. But Evans was always nothing but the consummate gentleman to us. Every time we asked for him to come on the show for an interview, he said yes, as long as there wasn't something conflicting. I mean, he was so gracious with his time. He was gracious with his answers.
Yes.
He never beat around the bush. He didn't give you the common staple boilerplate answers where you get nothing out of him. He came on. He was honest. He was genuine. And he's very generous with his time. So I think I speak on behalf of all of us.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.